Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready for the Word of God? Well, when you study Scripture or you study the Bible, there is a thing in Bible study called the principle of first mention. It's essentially whenever there is a revelation in Scripture about something that God wants to talk to us about, the principle of first mention is that it's always good to go back to when that thing is first mentioned, whenever that principle is first introduced, if you like. And they then form the building blocks for our understanding of God's heart toward us and the truth that that story or that account or that text is trying to convey. We kind of build on that from that first original mention. And so today, Myri, you being the original and founding campus of Nations Church in your 21st year, I want to take us all the way back to the very beginning where the first offering was taken up to build the first place of worship. Should we go there? Because I often think that when you've walked a little bit of the journey with God and you've traversed, you know, quite a bit of the road with the Lord on some things, it's good to be reminded of the beginning of things. And I just believe that across time, many a church has lost their way because people either forgot or let slide some of the original attitudes and postures and the heart and the convictions that got them to where they were in the first place. And we don't want to do that today. Amen. And so we jump into Exodus chapter 35. And you need to understand that up until Exodus 35, where God speaks to his people about building this structure called the tabernacle, that word tabernacle is that word mishkan or dwelling place or permanent place of residence, if you like. Up until then, the only opportunities people had to worship or offer sacrifice was done on personally built altars, like what Cain and Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they all did. They built personal altars. But here in Exodus 35, in the wilderness, God challenges Moses to take up an offering to ask them to build a corporate physical place where worship could be offered. And that place was to be called the tabernacle. And, you know, people would have looked at Moses going, what is that? How do you spell that? What are you talking about? But the tabernacle, you can look all of this up yourself. The tabernacle was a divinely commissioned physical sanctuary for God, where God was shifting his people from individualized worship to corporate unified worship, gathering in person in a physical space. And if you could read Exodus 35 and 36 yourself, it's a beautiful command because those two chapters really convey a joyful, sacred, presence-filled, God-honoring act, which is really what we're going to go back to today. And today, even though it's building our future, it can feel like it's something that we're doing together, but you got to understand what we're doing today is joyful and is sacred. Exodus 35, verse 4. And here is the key in verse 4 and 5. It says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Say, willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, and on it goes, all the different materials and precious stones and stuff. Exodus 35, verse 21, we're going to jump down. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. Here's that notion again, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 4 of Exodus 36. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, a new commandment, if you like, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed, too much. Imagine giving too much. Today I want to speak to you on the thought, willing giving. Willing giving. Like I said before, God was transitioning a nomadic wilderness wandering people and saw that they needed a physical place to have unified worship. And you know, when you read those two passages, those two chapters, if you like, it occurred to me that, well, if God is the creator of the universe and this is what he desires for his people, why did he not just materialize a tabernacle right in the middle of the desert, like bang, ta-da? Like, wouldn't that be easier? Like, well, what is this whole rigmarole of asking people to sacrificially give and then getting the workmen and the artisans and all the people to kind of put their time and build all of these? Why can't God just wave his hand and materialize a tabernacle? I mean, he is the God that created the universe, after all. He's the God that created the heavens and the earth. What is it now that he's, now that there's people on the earth, he chooses to work with and partner with people's sacrificial giving? The answer to that question is simply this: is because God is our Lord, not our fairy godmother. God is our master, not a genie in the bottle. And when God journeys with us to make us more like him, he always invites us to sacrificially give, to participate, and to sow what is essentially our life in exchangeable form, because that's what our money is. And I think for us, we need to see moments like this, which is what we've been doing for 21 years, as not just us building the future of this church in partnering with God, but to see it as something that we do because that's what we do to become more like God. Makes sense to you? And for us, I think sometimes we get a little triggered around this issue of giving money because we form unhealthy emotional attachments to this life in exchangeable form. But I'm here to tell you today that all that we have belongs to God anyway. And so this invitation in the very first mention of this in Exodus 35 verse 36 gives us some learnings, five very quick learnings. I don't have long to preach today, but I'm going to give you five very quick learnings. And the first one is this: God's not wanting our wealth, he's wanting our willingness. Come on, can I get an amen? He's not just looking for what we give or at what we do give, he's looking at how willingly we give it. And the reason that this was important in Exodus 35 is you got to remember, for 420 some odd years, 450 years, the Israelites were slaves. They weren't just concerned about the cost of living. They were worried about the cost of surviving. And so they had this slave mentality and they had this muscle memory of a poverty mindset. And here they were in the wilderness and God was deconstructing an old way of thinking, because somewhere along the way they had to fulfill the Deuteronomy prophecy where God says, I'm going to make you a nation where you will lend to many and borrow from none. You will be head and not the tail. Makes sense to you guys? So he was deconstructing their slavery mentality. And the way to do that was to invite them to give sacrificially for the building of this tabernacle. Come on. And the way that he looks at, he invites them is to participate in a willing offering. And here's the thing: even though it was a willing offering to build a physical place, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, this is how God describes this offering. It says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Not an offering to build the tabernacle, not an offering to give to Moses, an offering to the Lord. Whenever we give something physical, tangible, and finite that's an extension of our lives, God sees it as an offering directly to him. It's sacred and it's holy. Come on, somebody. The second learning is the opportunity to give to the Lord is both joyful and sacred. I know that today will feel like sacrificial giving for so many of us, but I'm here to tell you that sacrifice doesn't need to be depressing. It may be hard, but it should also be joyful and sacred. And the thing that turns sacrificial giving from being depressing to joyful is our willingness. The thing that turns it from reluctance to sacred is willingness. And here's the thing, what I love about Exodus 35 and 36 is that everyone contributed different amounts, but they were equal sacrifice. You can read it yourself. We didn't have time to. Some gave gold, some gave silver, some gave bronze, some gave materials, some gave linen, some gave badger skins, some came with acacia wood. It was all there laid out. But God looked at their willingness, and it was their willingness that led to that joyful and sacred moment. Third learning is that the facilitation of tomorrow's corporate worship came from their willingness to sacrifice today. This was the lesson. God was teaching these ex-slaves that are now wilderness wanderers that nothing good in the future would come about without today's intentional choices. They were living day to day as slaves for 450 years. They lived that way, thinking about whether they'll survive the next beating, whether they'll survive the next hard task that the Egyptian taskmasters would lay on their backs. But God was transitioning them to think about the future nation they were going to be. Are you following today? It reminds us that everything that we do today for the sake of the future generation, that moment we had where we declared how great is our God in a building just like this, we want to ensure that future generations get to be in buildings just like this, in cities we're not at yet. Come on, somebody. The fourth learning is that willing giving always leads to abundance. Willing giving always leads to abundance. Moses actually stood up and said, okay, guys, we've got enough now. Keep the rest. We've got enough. Stop giving. I would love to do that one day. Stop. We've got enough now, because unwilling giving always leads to lack, but willing giving always leads to abundance. With the builders, once they started building and counting all the materials they needed, they said, hey, actually, we have enough to build the tabernacle according to the description, the dimensions, the specifications that God gave us. And it's everywhere in Scripture. Whenever there is willing giving, there's always abundance. Think about John chapter 6, where this young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, come on, somebody. You know where I'm going with this. 5,000 men plus women plus children needed to be fed, and yet his willing giving resulted in abundance, basketfuls left over. We see 1 Kings chapter 17 where Elijah rocks up and visits the widow at Zarephath, and she's got hardly anything left. It's the middle of a drought. She's got a bit of oil, a bit of flour in a couple of jars, and Elijah says, well, why don't you bake me a cake? And she says, oh, I got nothing left to give. But her willingness to honor the man of God, and she bakes this cake for him, resulted in abundance with oil and flour that did not run out. I'm here to declare today, for as long as we continue to build the future with willing giving, God will continue to provide for all our needs across all our local campuses. God made a promise to me when we first planted the church. If you teach willing giving, you will always have enough for kids ministry. You'll always have enough for youth ministry. You'll always have enough for connects. You'll always have enough to reach a community. You'll always have enough for playgroups. You'll always have enough for kids with additional needs and heroes. Come on, somebody. You'll always have enough. You always have enough. The reason why is because we're being discipled to become willing givers. The fifth learning as I land this, it's this. When the tabernacle is built, that's when the glory comes. That's when the glory comes. Exodus 40 verse 17, after it was built, it says, and it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up or built. It says this, the cloud covered, verse 34, the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It's a declaration into the New Testament believer today that whenever there is sacrificial giving, whenever there is a sense that God, we really honor the future worship. We really honor people gathering in your name in the future under somewhere permanent. When there is a sacrificial giving, the glory of God will fall. I'm here to declare today, I just want to be part of a church that can somehow play a part today to ensure that the glory comes down, not just in our day, but for the kids one day when they're going to be in here. Makes sense to you guys? And there is a desire in my heart today to rally our hearts around this moment, that it might feel, if you've done this many, many years and you've been under my leadership, you've done it a lot, it might feel like it's a bit of a mechanical thing that we're doing. Can I encourage you? It is an incredibly sacred thing. Yeah. 5 learnings. I'm going to recap. God's not wanting our wealth. He's wanting our willingness. Secondly, the opportunity to give to the Lord is both joyful and sacred. Thirdly, the facilitation of tomorrow's corporate worship came from the willingness to sacrifice today. Fourthly, willing giving leads to abundance. And fifth, when the tabernacle is built, the glory comes. Can we give God a big shout of praise today?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.